I recently had an extra, much-coveted ticket to the new production of Porgy and Bess at the ART here in Cambridge, Massachusetts. It's the story of the fictional African-American fishing community Catfish Row in Charleston, South Carolina, circa 1930. Porgy, as he says, a cripple. Bess, a drug-addicted prostitute trying to accept his love in the steamy, uneasy Jim Crow South. That's Summertime, sung by a member of the ART ensemble, Nikki Renee Daniels. Who wouldn't want to hear this? Well, my friend Beverly. When I offered her my extra ticket, she said no. She's African-American, and her family historically found the work offensive, a caricature. On the other hand, here and now pop culture critic Renee Graham, also black, couldn't wait to go. She sent us her two-word take, loved it. Porgy and Bess is beloved and polarizing, this production in particular, as you might have heard. Adapters Susan Laurie Parks and Deirdre Murray and director Diane Paulus announced they were bringing a new spin, modifying some of the language, giving Bess her due, to which Stephen Sondheim said, "Feh," or words to that effect, in a now-famous letter to the New York Times. But the reviews are in. The Times adored Audra McDonald's Bess, but was mixed on the production, which Ed Siegel at WBUR loved, as did the Boston Globe. They say Norm Lewis as Porgy is goosebump-raising as he leaves in the end to find his Bess. Putting the critics aside, what is it like to play Porgy when so many people have their own ideas about what he symbolizes? Let's ask Norm Lewis, a veteran Broadway and television performer who raised those goosebumps. He joins us in the studio. Norm, welcome.
Thank you. Goosebumps. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Well, even the program notes for the ART production point out that during the Civil Rights Movement, Porgy and Bess, which is considered one of America's greatest operas, became sort of radioactive for many African Americans because they felt it was something of a caricature. Mm-hmm. What about you when you came to the role? Did you have family discussions about it?
No, I knew about those discussions, but I didn't really focus on so much trying to get into the racial aspect of the show. I wanted to bring the truth. And back in that time in Catfish Row, people spoke a certain way. Now, we are choosing not to use some of the words that were originally put in the book, but I think we're just trying to find the truth of each character, and that's kind of been the basis of this whole process.
Well, but you say you didn't want to focus on the racial aspect, and yet we couldn't help but note that on your website, the first line of your bio points out that you grew up in Eatonville, Florida, the oldest black-chartered municipality in the U.S. So in shaping Porgy, what did you want him to be?
I wanted him to be someone who is seen with dignity and pride and you know, truth, basically. I mean, whether you like him or not, I mean, that's just like when I played Sweeney Todd, I was lucky enough to play that role, that character. I didn't want you to necessarily like him, but I wanted you to understand his plight. As far as the Eatonville, the aspect of me being in the black community, that helped a lot because I grew up in that sort of environment and that culture. So that helps me with this community, being that it is an all-black community in Catfish Row in South Carolina.
Well, let's listen to how Porgy, you, Norm Lewis, describes himself as someone who can't walk and is walked by and maybe invisible to people.
They look at my door and they keep on walking. I'm crippled from birth. God made me to be lonely.
Norm Lewis, how did you physically come to Porgy? Because Diane Paulus, the director, famously decided not to put him on his goat cart,
right.
Where he had been in past productions, although he had also been on crutches. You have him on one cane and this tortured, contorted walk. Mm-hmm. How'd you come to that?
Well, Diane and I, and also Ron Brown, Ron K. Brown, who's our choreographer, we consulted with physical therapists who deal with people who are handicapped and came up with this particular movement, something that wouldn't hurt me, you know, eight times a week, but something that would definitely be true on stage and look authentic.
Let's listen to a little of I Got Plenty of Nuttin'.
Oh, I got plenty of nuttin', and nuttin's plenty of
the sun, I've got the moon, I've got the deep blue sea.
At a certain point, do you have to sort of drop from your head, I am playing Porgy?
Yeah, I do. It's almost like being the president of the United States. I am in that line of these very famous Porgies and this iconic story. Todd Duncan, the original Porgy, I'm very proud of, and I feel I owe him honor and tribute because he really did something for us that was way before the Civil Rights Movement. And when they did an incarnation of the show in Washington, D.C. for the National Theater, he refused to go on unless it was a desegregated audience. I mean, this was in the 40s. And they threatened him. They did all kinds of things. But then he stood strong, and also the cast were behind him as well.
Huh. So that's some wind beneath your wings,
yes,
as well.
Yes, absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely.
So to our storyline, we heard Porgy lamenting that he was a cripple.
Mm-hmm.
But then along comes Bess, played by Audra McDonald.
Yeah, she's I think she has
she
a future.
Can sing. Yeah,
she has a future.
The New York Times says she can now claim this role.
Yeah.
I was thinking when you were singing together, you are both physically strong.
Mm-hmm.
You would have to be because your voices, you could knock each other over. How does that feel to be in the wake of her voice?
It's just great. I mean, it's almost like playing a tennis player who is of equal level or better. You want to bring your game up, and that's what I try to do every night with her.
I'm wondering, too, we were reading an old article from the AP about Simon Estes, who played Porgy at the Met in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And it points out that even though there are many African-American female opera stars, Marian Anderson, Leontine Price,
mm-hmm.
Jesse Norman, that it's more difficult for African-American male singers.
Yes, yeah. I was sleeping on my couch one night, and I think I woke up around 3 o'clock in the morning, and to my television still being on. And it was a documentary about African-Americans being in the classical world. Women are, you know, seem as damsel in distress or the exotic woman, and they get hired for those roles a lot of times. As far as black men, some guy who hires people in the operatic world, he said if there's a tenor, a black tenor and a white tenor, going for the same role, and they're equal, the white tenor will get it. Black men are not seen as heroes, at least in the operatic world, as far as the tenor roles. As the brother or as the father, you will see baritones and basses in these roles, but you don't really know of any famous tenor that's a black guy.
Is it a little bit easier in the Broadway world?
The musical theater world has changed a whole lot, and in fact, I'm a product of that. I've played Javert, I've played Sweeney Todd, I've played King Triton in Little Mermaid. I had a white daughter, so it's when there are roles that are universal like that.
Norm Lewis, who stars as Porgy in the Gershwin's Porgy and Bess at the American Repertory Theater in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Just one question, having gone, would you like to look out and see more African-Americans in the audience?
Absolutely. And it's been great because there have been a lot of faces out there. I know that when it's marketed, I think the show The Color Purple proved that. When it's marketed to the community, a lot of times people will respond.
Norm Lewis, thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.